and they're calling out your name. It's a stadium of fans.
Hello everyone, it's Troy Dodds with you. Welcome to the Western Weekender and Blue Mountains Record podcast. Our focus today is on the Penrith Panthers. It's been about 3 months since we did the last one of these, and back then a ball was yet to be kicked in season 2016. We had hope, we had expectations, we've still got hope and expectations, but we've also got a lot of questions now as well. It's been a crazy few months in Pantherland. Joining me today is the Weekenders and the Blue Mountains Records lead rugby league writer Nathan Taylor. Nathan, hello to you.
G'day Troy.
Now it has been a big few months since we were here last time. But let's just talk about the last couple of weeks, because there's been some big things happening there. And in particular this week, Jamie Soward being dropped from first grade to reserve grade. Someone who's played hundreds of first grade games, a lot of experience. A marquee signing to the Panthers a couple of years ago. Here we are midway through the third year of his contract and he's playing reserve grade. What do you think?
Huge surprise, I must say. You know, Jamie Soward is someone that you need in a team. His kicking game is brilliant. His experience is second to none. But I think what we saw in the Melbourne game really showed some things that in Jamie Soward's game that we can't just have at the moment, especially on the back of two straight losses. His defence was terrible. They just ran at him the entire game. And every time they did, they scored. He went missing. We discussed the other day, Troy, that Nathan Cleary really took the reins in that game. A debutant, an 18-year-old, a game where Jamie Soward's experience really should have showed. And maybe it is the right call for Coach Griffin to dump him this week. I don't think he's gone for the rest of the year. He seems like the sort of guy that probably will come back. I reckon after the bye, he'll be re-energised, especially in the New South Wales Cup game. If he performs well there, we will see him again. But he probably does need a spell to get his game going again.
It's actually interesting you say that, because Jamie Soward is, anyone who follows him on social media or has spoken to him, is a bit of a prickly character. Mm. He can be he's very driven by emotions and whatnot. He could have taken this two ways, I think, but he seems to have handled it very professionally over the last couple of days. He seems to, on social media, saying that he wants to fight back. He said that he believes that anyone could be chopped, apart from maybe Matt Moylan, the captain. We'll hear from Jamie in a minute about what he said, but he seems to have taken it very well, and he doesn't want this to be the end. There's a lot of people saying, well, this is it. This is the end for Jamie Soward, yeah. But maybe not. He looks like he wants to fight back.
Well, that's right. And he said if this happened to him last year or the year before, he'd be gutted and, he probably wouldn't have handled it the way he has now. And I think you can tell by his social media activity that his life has changed. He's a lot happier with his partner and he's just got a better frame of mind. So it's probably a good thing to see that the tweet he put out yesterday saying he plans to work hard and be back and it won't let get him down was really refreshing for fans, and they sort of jumped on board and said, yeah, we want to see you back, as opposed to someone like James Seguiaro, who when he got demoted last week didn't handle it so well.
All right, well, let's we'll talk about Chico in just a moment. Let's just have a listen to what Jamie Soward said in relation to the fact that anyone could be dropped from Penrith's first grade team.
If you're not winning, mate, and you don't perform, we're all under the gun, yeah, myself included. So there's no only probably Moisa, yeah, being the captain. But there's no excuses here. We've got a lot of depth now, and we've got a lot of young guys coming through.
So that's Jamie Soward. Now that was actually before the official team announcement at 5 o'clock, which Jamie Soward wasn't a part of. About 3 or 4 hours before, we're presuming he knew then that he'd been dropped to reserve grade. Now, I wrote this week, this is a big, big gamble from Anthony Griffin. So Anthony Griffin goes into a game against Manly on the weekend with a halves pairing of Bryce Cartwright in his second year of first grade, essentially, and Nathan Cleary, who's going to play his second game in the top grade. The season is still alive for Penrith. The finals are still a very realistic possibility. Mm. A premiership, I guess, is still a chance, is certainly mathematically, but also when you look at, where the other teams are at, apart from maybe Cronulla and North Queensland and maybe Melbourne, consistency certainly isn't anyone else at the moment. This is a big gamble to play in round 14.
It's a huge gamble, and before the team was named, we were thinking, man, Penrith could win by 30 or 40 here with all the troubles of Manly going through and all the injuries they have. Now it looks like that Manly's halves pairing of Apisai Corriss and Dylan Walker actually looks more experienced than our halves pairing of Cleary and Cartwright. It's just, it is a huge gamble, and it's a game that they really need to win. So it better pay off for Hook. Yeah. Otherwise, a lot of people are going to ask him questions about the decision to drop Soward and obviously in the end to drop Seguiaro too.
Might have only been 9 minutes, but there's an Origin player in Manly's halves. So
that's there you right.
Go. So Jamie Soward, now listen, there's a lot of talk. Many sources have said that maybe Jamie won't see out the fourth year of his contract next year. I remember when he signed, there was friends who were basically, we all agreed that it's going to end in tears in year four. Mm. Do you think you'll be here next year?
No.
You're calling no on Jamie Soward for next year.
I love Jamie Soward, and if he can get back to his best playing ability, sure. But if Penrith want to look to the future, and it seems like they do, it looks like a partnership of Tamari Martin and Nathan Cleary is the way to go next year. So where does that leave Jamie Soward? I don't think he's going to be wanting to be playing in front of 50 people and at Pepper Stadium on a Saturday afternoon, for the remainder of his contract. So what do they do there? I mean, I would love to see him back, but with what we're seeing now with Hook blooding all these youngsters, it'd be unusual for him to just put them back a year or two back in reserve grade. It seems the future is what he wants to do, and I'm not sure that Soward's a part of it.
Yeah, look, it's going to be very interesting with Jamie. Personally, look, I can understand the James Seguiaro demotion. I can certainly understand what's effectively, not in Jamie's case, but effectively an unofficial no dickhead policy that we're basically implementing at the Panthers, that if you're not pulling your weight, you are going to get dropped. You know, Anthony Griffin's got no issue with that. In saying that, nor did Ivan Cleary. Ivan Cleary, of course, has also dropped players when he was coaching the Panthers. But I guess the question is whether Jamie is the type of player where we're dropping him to reserve grade and having him play in front of 50 people at Pepper Stadium on Saturday afternoon, is what is best for the team. Now, my personal view is that I think we need Jamie Soward in the team to win games. Mm. He's never been able to defend well. I mean, just sort of saying, well, you know, Jamie hasn't defended well the last couple of weeks, and against Melbourne he was exposed. He's never defended well. And we knew that when we bought Jamie Soward. When we had Jamal Idris in the team, I think he masked a lot of that. Jamie was protected a lot by Jamal. Maybe that doesn't happen as much anymore, but I don't know. I personally just think I'd rather have Jamie in the team. That experienced head, his kicking game, I don't think we're going to miss that.
He is a match winner, but he only comes out every one game every month where he'll prove his worth. I mean, that the Warriors game, that was the last time we saw anything good out of him. And, you know, it's the games where he's playing well are too few and far between. I mean, do you want that? Do you want a team where he goes missing? And, you know, he wants a leader that's going to play well every week. Cooper Cronk and Jonathan Thurston, they play well every week.
Well, I guess it's now a matter of whether Nathan Cleary and Bryce Cartwright can lead us to victory on the weekend, and we'll see what happens from there as far as what the halves are going to be. I said this in a few places this week and in our preview in the Weekender as well, that it's interesting that for the last 2 years we've craved having our spine, our 1, 6, 7 and 9 together, and we've had injuries and all sorts of dramas that have prevented that. We now have them available for selection. Last weekend, we have Matt Moylan, Peter Wallace, Jamie Soward and James Seguiaro available for selection. Only 50% of that spine will actually line up in first grade this weekend, and only 25% of it will be in their preferred position, and that's Matt Moylan at fullback. It's amazing how far we've somehow come in 13 rounds of footy.
Obviously, Hook inherited this team. If it was Hook's team, he may not have bought a Jamie Soward or a James Seguiaro or someone like that. So this is what he's got to deal with for this year, and maybe we're seeing signs of what his plans are for the future. But you're right. I mean, obviously, we're going to be a stronger team if we have those four on the park at the same time, because they are your most experienced, and they're probably four of our best players in the team. So it is unusual why he's doing this. That's what we can't quite work out, Hook's mantra. No one's heard from Hook as to why he's making these decisions. And we just have to see what happens. But I admit, if those four are in there, we're going to win a lot more games than with them out.
Now, let's talk about James Seguiaro. We heard from Jamie Soward earlier. We've also said how his approach in these last few days has been very professional. Let's have a listen to James Seguiaro last week. This is him leaving Leichhardt Oval and him having a chat with Seven News.
Obviously, I've been playing good enough and I need to work on that, so that's why I'm here.
What about your relationship with him? Is it good?
Yeah, mate, he's good at home. He cooks, so I wash up.
Now, Nathan, James isn't quite there in the professionalism stakes with Jamie, no question about that. Chico's situation is a little bit different. So Hook has obviously said that we only need one hooker, and at the moment that is Peter Wallace. Now, you would have got incredible odds on that at the start of the season, because we were talking about where Peter Wallace fits given his previous relationship with Anthony Griffin. Now, Peter Wallace is our first choice hooker. Is that the only reason, though? Is form the only reason James Seguiaro is being in reserve grade?
Of course not. I mean, there was rumours at the start of the season that Hook and Seguiaro had a bit of a rift on the training paddock, and it seems that that may have not have, come to an end. And it's just translated, now down the track here. It's incredible. I mean, obviously, we just heard from Seguiaro there as he left Leichhardt Oval. He's a casual guy, honest guy. He's a bit of a joker as well. So maybe he just didn't know how to handle that situation properly. I'm not sure if there was any Panthers media assistance around at the time to help him through that. It was sort of, he was just caught off guard and he said what he said. He probably should have just said nothing, or just said, what Jamie Soward said yesterday, that he was working hard to get back into the team, and rather than make a few jokes here and there, it didn't come across well with the fan base. But yeah, obviously it is a different situation. Seguiaro isn't going to be here next year. He was off contract this year, so Hook's making these decisions now to either get rid of him before June 30 or try and motivate him in New South Wales Cup to maybe, come back towards the back end of the season to try and get us into the finals.
We all knew pretty much that James wouldn't be here next year. That was becoming obvious, but Phil Gould, during a radio interview on the Big Sports Breakfast, basically just revealed that there would be no contract offer for Chico. He's had a checkered past. We often forget about this, but it was discipline that saw him end up in North Queensland. He was let go by South Sydney. He's got some family issues and things like that. He obviously is being a little bit misguided at the moment. We all know, as we said, about the other issues that he's had, including that infamous photo at Star City at the Chinese restaurant there. He needs someone to be a guiding light for him at the moment, because obviously both on and off the field he's struggling.
It seems like with Chico is that football is second in his life, and partying and hanging out with whoever is maybe first. I mean, I don't know if Sydney is the best place for him at the moment. Not that there's anything wrong with hanging out with teammates or friends or, whoever, but it just sometimes that can get in the way of your football career. And obviously the photo that did come out with him at the Star Casino obviously wasn't a good look for the team, and Hook probably wasn't impressed by it either, and that's probably why he chose this is the time now that you're going to get demoted. So maybe he needs to think more about football and getting back on track there than worrying about where he's going on Saturday night after a game or something.
Well, I can tell you that after the Titans game, word started to filter out that afternoon that the Sydney Morning Herald had this photo, and Anthony Griffin that night was fuming. He hadn't seen the photo yet. He'd been sort of told that there was a photo, and he was fuming over it. Now, it probably wasn't as bad as it could have been. It's a big lunch. We've probably all been to lunches where you don't know everyone on the table or whatnot. But yeah, it's not a good look for James, and he certainly needs to, find some new friends maybe, or a new roommate, because Corey Norman might not be the best person for him, but who knows. But what's your prediction? Where will James end up?
Well, you think he has still a lot to offer in the NRL. I mean, he's still very young. 2 years ago, he was the hooker of the year. So it'd be a real, real shame for someone like Seguiaro to have to go to England to find somewhere to, kick along his career. But, he would be wanting to definitely stay in the NRL. He's obviously not going to be at Penrith, but I think he needs to get back into this Penrith team to prove to other sides he's worth some coin and worth, taking a punt on. So.
Well, I reckon he'll be in England. So there you go. There's my prediction. I just don't know where James fits into the NRL. And it's a sad situation, really, because he's a lot of people's favourite player. He went Hooker of the Year 2 years ago. It is a giant fall from grace. But look, you're not going to get on with every coach. And obviously, from the outset, he and Anthony Griffin just haven't clicked. So that is the situation. All right. Let's have a chat about some of the debutants. Because in all of this, it does allow us to see some new faces. We've seen Nathan Cleary last weekend, but let's go through them. Who's made their debut so far in season 6 2016 for the Penrith Panthers?
So we also kicked off in round one with the debutante of James Fisher-Harris, a young kid from New Zealand who killed it in the Holden Cup and New South Wales Cup.
Well.
And he's just re-signed too, so well done to him. So he obviously was the first one to burst onto the scene, and he was outstanding in those first few months that he was in the side before he got injured. He had some real breakout games there. I think a game against the Sharks, he scored 2 tries, and he really started to find his groove and fit into first grade. So it's a shame that he's going to be out for the next few weeks now, probably in a couple of at least towards round 20 or so, he'll be back. So that's a shame. But the next one that came on board wasn't too much longer either, was against the Broncos, was Tamari Martin.
What a debut.
Out in front of Yo, does a spin. This has happened before for Penrith. Not too often attended well. Cartwright's got it. He's offloaded. Back away. It goes out for Martin to score on the bow. Campbell Gillard with a hit up. He's 10 metres from the line. Soward is deep to take the shot here. He's back on the 20. Wallace goes back. Soward goes to Mutt. The kid takes the shot. The kid has got it. Tamari Mutt on the bow.
A dream debut, obviously. Everyone wanted to see him play. They hadn't seen much of him. He was basically a Holden Cup player until he came here. And everyone was desperate to see what he had. Huge hype around him. And that first game against Brisbane where he scored the try and then the field goal to obviously win it was incredible and something he'll never forget. And it's just a shame that during that Sharks game he got injured, and it looks like he's going to be out for the remainder of the season. I mean, if Penrith make it, they said, there is a chance he could come back. The injury wasn't as bad, but, he was definitely a standout while he was there, and it's a shame he's not now.
He was a little bit quiet after that debut, but you'd expect that. In fact, we probably saw too much of him in that debut, even though it was fantastic because we won the game. But he was a little bit quiet after that, but he showed enough in those first few games that we've got an excitement machine there. And all the talk that surrounded him pre-season and his move from the Tigers and whatnot, he lived up to that in those early days. It looks like we've got a long-term prospect in the halves there.
Absolutely. And the last one to debut was last week was Nathan Cleary, a debutant we did not see coming this year. I have to say, I was very surprised that he got a gig this quickly, obviously with what's going on with the team and, losing some games in a row there. It obviously resulted in Griffin taking a punt and thinking this might be the future and the way to go. He did well in his first game. He defended extremely well. He did take a lot of the reins, which against the Storm, it was a huge game to have your debut in. And
absolutely.
He did an extremely good job, and I think he's only going to get better now. Against Manly, this could be a game where he could really break out, and maybe we'll see more of the things we saw in the Holden Cup. He could bring that into the NRL this week, and I look forward to seeing it.
And he was presented his jersey by former Panthers captain and legend Greg Alexander in the dressing room before the Storm game. And his mum and dad were down there as well. That would have been a little bit weird for Ivan. I'll make a couple of points on that. There's no way, I don't think, that Nathan would have been making his debut if Ivan was still the coach. So the debut's come earlier. Yeah. That would have been a detriment to Nathan in a way, when that debut was going to come under his dad. But it must have been weird for Ivan to be sitting in the stands. I don't know if he's come to a Penrith game this year. I presume not. I presume he hasn't been to see the team go around. It would have been very odd to be sitting in the stands watching that.
Absolutely. And Ivan said on Fox Sports the other day that it was just surreal seeing him out there and that he was so surprised it came so early. But he admitted he handled it well, and he was very happy for his son. And we all are. He seems like a good kid, and he is the future of the Panthers.
And, of course, we've got another debutant this weekend against the Manly Seagulls.
Yeah, Moses Leota. He's he's been with the club for a few years now, but he's been on the sort of 18th, 19th man for the last couple of weeks, and he finally gets his shot this week on the bench. He's going to be wearing jersey number 17, it seems, and he's meant to be a powerhouse in the forwards. He dominates the Holden Cup. He's been doing really well in the New South Wales Cup this year, so he's definitely could be one of those another James Fisher-Harris type players, Alani Latus. And we need someone in that side's a bit of a firebrand, someone that when they run at you, you're a bit afraid of. And I think Moses Leota, he could be one of those players. Hopefully he has a successful debut on the weekend, and he's in that team for the rest of the season.
Absolutely. All right. Well, don't forget, you can catch up with all the Penrith Panthers news in extra time every single week in the Western Weekender. 16 pages of rugby league news, including the Masked Panther with all his gossip. And the big man has asked me if I could give out his email address, which is maskedpanther@westernweekender.com.au. If anyone's got any Panther gossip or sightings, he just loves to hear it. He's always on the ball. So make sure you email the Masked Panther, maskedpanther@westernweekender.com.au, and check out Extra Time. You can get it digitally as well on the Western Weekender website at westernweekender.com.au, and, of course, in the print edition as well. Now, leave your loved ones with a fond memory and not the cost of a funeral. A pre-arranged funeral with Australia's leading prepaid funeral plan is locked in at today's prices, so you will save. That means no ongoing premiums or rising costs. Call Simplicity Funerals today to learn more about the many benefits of having a prepaid funeral with them. They're at 98 Station Street in Penrith. You can visit simplicityfunerals.com.au or call them anytime, 1300 566 222. Find out about prepaid funerals from Simplicity Funerals. All right, now let's have a chat about the Panthers and where we're at, because it is the middle of the season, and some people still have faith that we're going to make the eight, others don't. I reckon that the faith has been shaken a little bit in the last couple of weeks, particularly with the team changes and things like that. Yeah. To me, as much as I'm still going to say we'll make the top eight. You know, I'm still putting that out there, that I think Penrith will make the top eight. However, a team that is about to go on a run, which is what Penrith need to do, a team that is going to string 5-6 wins together, is not a team with an 18-year-old halfback most likely, and is certainly not a team that is chopping and changing every single week. Where are we at? Are the Panthers going to make it, do you think? And what do they need to do to make it? Because at the moment, going into the game against Manly, if you're listening to this beforehand, they're outside of the eight. So what are we going to do to get in there?
Well, I was a bit emotional after the Melbourne Storm game, and I declared online to a few mates that I think they're done. They're not going to make it. I don't see a way out for them, especially now with blooding all these young kids. It's just not the way to go, I think, especially when you've got a few experienced guys that still have a lot to give. I think this game against Manly is the huge test for them. They really need to win this game, and I want them to win it well. I want them to score some tries. I want to see some attacks and points from them. They've got the players there to do it, and I just think they really need to show that off. It's just a really tight tussle there at the bottom of the eight. You've got so many teams vying for those positions there, and a few surprise teams too that we didn't think would be in the mix, like your Titans, your Dragons. You know, Canberra obviously have exceeded everyone's expectations.
Your Raiders.
Love the Raiders.
A few pictures of you in a Canberra jersey, I would say. When you're a little bit younger, but still.
That's right. But they are doing well. And, you know, I want my team to play like that. I want them to show some fight and attack. And I know at the start of the season, they were hanging in games there. And that was great to see. But it just worried me that they couldn't get over some of those teams. And
it was going to go either way, wasn't it? So for those first 9 weeks, those ridiculous statistics that was the closest that any team had been in the first, you know, 8 or 9 rounds of a competition. So, you know, you can look at those first sort of 8, 9 rounds and you go, okay, well, we lost to the Bulldogs on the bell, but we beat the Broncos late. You know, we beat the Eels on the bell, but we lost to the Dragons late. So we were going back and forth, and it could have gone either way. Mm. It could have gone, okay, we're going to build from this and we're going to start going on a run of wins, or it's going to fall the other way and, you know, the luck is going to go against us. And unfortunately, that's happened the last couple of weeks. It's interesting. Someone said to me last night, and I think I do agree with it, people's expectations are in very different spots depending on who you are. So for Anthony Griffin, you know, he's coached Penrith for all of 12 matches. I mean, he obviously came to us late last year. For him, he probably doesn't expect necessarily to finish in the top four this year, or even, of course, he wants to, but he's still learning the squad, and the expectations from perhaps Anthony Griffin are focused on next year and the year after. Mm. For fans, we've been through the rebuild. Let's not mention the R word. Let's not pretend we're going through a rebuild now, because we've been through it. We've been through the and with all due respect to them, but we've been through the period where we had to bring in players like Clint Newton and Cameron Serraldo and those kind of players because we needed some experience because of the young guys. We've been through that. Now it's time to start actually becoming a force and stop just, you know, being the underachievers of the competition.
Well, what annoys me is that Gus sacked Ivan Cleary because he thought he wasn't the man to take Penrith to that next level. You know, he had still a year to go on his contract. He thought that Griffin was the man to do it, and this was the year that they were going to get over that hump and make the finals and maybe do something in the finals. So what's the point of sacking Ivan Cleary early if you're going to sort of end up in the same spot that you did last year?
Essentially, what you're saying is if we wanted to finish 12th, Ivan Cleary could have been our coach.
Exactly.
And we could have got rid of Ivan in a much more civilised way, just not renewed his contract or whatever it might have been moving forward. Yeah, you're 100% right. But in saying that, Gus would probably also say that, well, you know, it's not necessarily about 2016. It's about the future as well. But as I say, fans aren't going to cop that for much longer, particularly when Okay, but it's different to say the Newcastle Knights situation. You know, the Knights, I feel sorry for the Knights. They're in all sorts of trouble, and their recruitment and how Wayne Bennett left them and all of that has left them a bit behind the eight ball. We have, I think Fox Sports put it out the other day, 622 games of first grade experience sitting in reserve grade.
Yep.
So if we want to have a tilt at this premiership this year, we probably do have the players to do it.
Yeah.
We have the experience of a Sauer, the kicking game of a Sauer, the experience of a Peter Wallace. And we obviously have Trent Merrin, representative players. For the first time in years, Penrith have New South Wales Origin representatives running around. Well, I'm guessing for the first time since Tim Grant and Petro Sivanisiva, we have Origin representatives going around. We have the youth and enthusiasm of someone like Bryce Cartwright, who people believe will be one of the stars of the future. We have the mix, don't we?
Certainly have the mix, and we all love what Gus has done for the club. I mean, the academy is brilliant. He saved the club. He's brought in some excellent recruits. But I think what annoys the fan base is that we've been promised for so long, for years since he started, around this time is when your team is going to be a consistent finals performer, and they're going to make it every year. And, you know, that's why we get annoyed. We don't have to wait another 2 or 3 years, but the way I'm seeing this team and how it's shaping up with Anthony Griffin blooding so many young guys, there could be another 2 or 3 years. And even then, there's no guarantee it could work out.
And I guess what frustrates fans is that fans copped the departures of players like Michael Jennings and Luke Lewis and Tim Grant, knowing that it was for the best for the club. So then along came players like James Seguiaro, who we said, okay, well, we're going to build our foundation on someone like him, and he wins Hooker of the Year in 2014, and things are going well. And now a couple of years later, we're saying, okay, well, we can move on from that without any real number nine on deck for next season.
No, exactly.
There's some youth coming through, and Peter Wallace is there, but you know, Peter Wallace is off contract, might not even get a deal, and if he does, it's going to be a short-term one-year deal. So there's some big question marks over where we're heading. Still got the faith. You know, you've got to still have the faith. And in fact, as we said, the club might not even be here without Gus. Made some incredible changes to the club and some sacrifices to the club, which I think are going to be more detailed in the months to come, the sacrifices that Gus has made. But it does come down to the fans who are buying their memberships, buying their tickets to go to every game, that we've been through the rebuild and now it's actually time to see results.
Yeah, and you see clubs like Cronulla. They're top of the comp. 2 years ago, they were last. They were struggling with the whole starter issue. And they've come out the other end on top of the comp. I'm not saying I'm jealous. It's just frustrating that Penrith fans have to continue to be patient, you know, for years and years and years. We just want to see them win some games, make some finals. I don't care if we don't win a grand final this year or next year. I just want to be a top team and know we're gonna do something. I don't want to have to wait, you know, to 2020 before maybe we're going to make the finals.
No, 100% right. 100% right. All right, now, Skinny's has just opened. You been to Skinny's yet, Nathan?
Very good. No, not yet. You should
pop over there because Skinny's have the bottomless business breakfast. Have your next business meeting at Skinny's and they'll give you all you can drink coffee with your meal. So make sure you pop into Skinny's there in the over on the Abco Centre, near the Abco Centre there, where AMF and all of that is.
Delicious.
It's fantastic there on Bat Street. And they are fat on flavour. And check them out Mondays to Fridays from 7 a.m. until 10:30 a.m. is the bottomless business breakfast. We get lunch, dinner, coffee, all sorts of things there. 72 Bat Street, Penrith, skinniesgrill.com. Make sure you check them out. They've got free Wi-Fi there as well, which is
that's what you need
good.
These
you
days,
do need
yeah.
free Wi-Fi. Now, it is the Panthers' 50th anniversary season. And they've got a big dinner coming up on June 25. We'll be there. It'll be a fantastic night. Now, the Hall of Fame is going to be announced on this night. Now, I don't know how it works. I know we've already got a team of legends that we announced, I think, in 2007, which was our 40th anniversary. Somehow it's 2016 and it's our 50th. But anyway, us and the Sharks can have a long conversation about that because next year they're going to have their 50th anniversary. But it is the 50th anniversary of the Panthers. Big dinner coming up. Hall of Fame. I don't know how it all works, but we've got some nominees, and I don't know, who should be in this Hall of Fame? What's happened so far?
Well, I'll run through the nominees so far. So over the past few months, every week, Panthers have released a player and along with a highlights package who are part of the 12 nominees for the Hall of Fame. Now, only four are going to be selected. Don't ask me how. I can't find it anywhere on there who selects the final four. Is it the fans? I know fans can vote to win tickets to the 50th anniversary dinner, but I'm not quite sure how we get down to the final four. But at the moment, these are the players that Panthers have selected as your top 12. Now, they haven't announced 12 just yet, but we've got Craig Gower, obviously.
Should be in there.
Definitely
Premiership winning captain from 2003.
Roy Simmons.
Yep, Premiership winner in 1991. Two tries, the grand final, of course. Still back in Penrith now, of course, working at the captain's club that he's got up there. Fulfilling his dream of having a beer with everyone in Penrith.
Ryan Girdler is the next one.
Girds, yes. Triple M these days, of course. Doing a fantastic job, Girds.
Absolutely. Brad Fittler.
Should be there, of course.
Trent Waterhouse.
Yeah, Trent Waterhouse. Well, he was part of that Premiership winning team, I guess, in 2003. And he's spending a bit of time around Penrith lately, too. He's been at a couple of the games, which is good.
Sold his house, too, recently.
Sold his house recently with his brother, Lee, over at Property Central.
John Cartwright.
John Cartwright, of course, Arden Manly these days with everyone else from Penrith.
Steve Carter.
Yeah, well, Steve Carter, of course, the 91 grand final. You know what I love about Steve Carter? When I was sort of growing up, there was a video that Panthers used to play before every game, and he used to be in there saying, never give up, never give up. And that was when it was pretty lean times for the Panthers.
I think we should bring it back.
We might should bring it up. We get Steve Carter out to wherever he is, on the Central Coast these days, I think he is.
Okay, nice. Tony Pulitua.
Yeah, big two. Part of the Hare Bears, of course.
And one that they revealed last night, a bit of an oldie from the original team, Graham Moran.
Yeah, well, of course, a legend of the club. None of us got to see him play, but one of the older veterans of the Panthers. So that's it so far.
That's it so far.
So we're still waiting
There's
for players.
There's a few notable ones.
Wes Nguama, Adrian Purtell, not there yet. Weekend economist Brad Drew, he'd be looking for a start, I'm guessing.
Absolutely. Yeah. His columns definitely deserve a start.
Brad Drew might get a start.
But there's a few that haven't been named yet. Greg Alexander, probably a no-brainer that he'll be on the list. MG, you think if you're naming people like Brad Fittler and Trent Waterhouse, that MG has to be in there based on what he's done for the club outside of the game as well.
Hasn't MG been like one of the real great turnaround stories from the loose head that he was and he'd admit in the early 1990s when he was at Penrith to now being an exceptionally good media talent on the NRL rookie at the moment, as well as the grill team on Triple M, does a fantastic job and still lives in South Penrith and loves it too.
Yeah, exactly. I'd love to see him in there. I'm not sure if he's going to make the final four, but he definitely deserves to be in that list of 12 that's going to be announced. But when you look at this...
Does he have to wear a suit if he rocks it? Because it's a black tie event, so that might rule
out. I have to buy a new suit.
I don't know. MG might rule himself out there. He doesn't like a suit, MG.
So who do you think could maybe narrow this down to a final four here?
Well, I've said, Wes Nguama, he'll be in there soon. Look, I love Wes. Okay. Well, Greg Alexander will be there.
Absolutely, yeah.
I think Craig Gower has to be there.
You have to have your two premiership winning captains.
You have to have your two premiership winning captains there as well. Now, the other two spots are tight. Because you look at someone like Brad Fittler. Now, Brad Fittler went on to achieve pretty much everything he could in the game. I think the youngest Australian representative, youngest New South Wales representative, won a premiership when he was probably Nathan Cleary's age at Penrith or a little bit older.
Yep.
But is he a Roosters legend or is he a Panthers legend? You know, he did move to the Roosters, and that is where I think he probably played his best football and where he really made a name for himself. I don't know. I think that might rule Freddie out.
I think he probably won't make the final four. There's one that
even though he's probably in the top four players in that list.
Absolutely, and one of the most well known as well, of course, definite legend of the game. But just because he didn't last very long at Penrith, and I think that'll undo him. Could Gus get a mention here? Do you think Gus could make the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, well, that's possible. I mean, Gus is this is right. This hasn't been you've just opened it up here.
Yeah.
What about Gus and John Lang, two premiership winning coaches?
Exactly. There are a few spots available. I think I only read out 10 names there, so there is possible that they could put the two coaches in there.
Yeah. Okay. I reckon that Gus will rule himself out.
He probably will. Yeah.
I mean, Gus at the moment he's banned himself from Twitter at the moment. He might be back on soon, but I reckon the great Gus might rule himself out.
I like the look of Steve Carter because he's played the most games for Penrith.
He has played the most games for Penrith, and at the current point, we will all be in the grave before anyone passes
Steve
Carter.
And I think that
maybe Matt Moylan will in the
and that
years
deserves
to come.
Something. And he obviously, he captained the side, right?
Yeah. Fan favourite. Ryan Girdler.
Ryan
Girdler, the intercept king, I think might just slip in there. Oh, look, it's hard. It's
goal scoring legend.
And it's very hard as well because you were comparing different eras.
You are. Well, and it's a shame that someone like a Graham Moran probably won't get in because of that fact. But they've got him in there in the final 12, and that's a huge testament considering there's 560 players that have played for the Panthers.
Yes, indeed. So. Yes, indeed. And a fantastic job over at the academy as well that lists all of those players.
Absolutely.
I mean, very busy adding players this year, of course.
Yes.
And adding a couple just in the last couple of weeks. All right, well, the Hall of Fame, that gets announced on the 25th of June at the big dinner over there at Panthers, the 50th anniversary dinner. And let's hope by then the Panthers have... well, it'll be the night after they play South Sydney, I think. So let's hope that they've...
Hope it's a fun occasion. Everyone's happy.
After South Sydney. And they're going well. All right, now let's have a chat about some of the other things in rugby league that have sort of dominated the year. Let's talk about the bunker, because the bunker has been a big talking point. It was a big talking point pre-season. We talked about it here. And
every
in round
week we
one,
talk about it, Troy.
In round one, I think the bunker was the greatest invention since sliced bread. Everyone loved the bunker. Since then, there's been some issues with the bunker, no doubt. Now, some of them that have benefited Penrith and others that haven't. So the bunker, going way back, the bunker intervened in the Parramatta game to give us the chance to win the game by overturning a scrum fee, which was a little bit controversial. The bunker in that same game, though, robbed us should have been a no-try to Parramatta, with a strip on Josh Mansell. And we've seen another couple of instances, so the game against the Titans, where replays later revealed a ball on the ground just before halftime with a try there. The bunker said no try. Not just Penrith games, issues right across it.
Origin game.
Origin, you know, Josh Morris reckons he got it down. Good or bad so far, the bunker? What did you give it out of 10?
Oh, 10. I'd give it a 7.
7 out of 10 for the bunker?
Yep.
I reckon, I'm willing to give it a 7.5. I think it's been a good innovation.
Yep.
I think that, like everything with rugby league, we got a bit nervous, and everyone in the bunker got a bit nervous, and we've made some tricky calls. The other thing is that there's more, unless you have the one person doing all 8 games, which hasn't really happened. I think there was a bit of talk that would sort of be the situation. People have different interpretations. You know, Luke Patton, a former player, is going to have a different interpretation than Ashley Klein.
Yep.
That's going to be very difficult.
I do enjoy hearing the referees explain why it's a try or no try. I think that's added an extra element to what we hadn't seen before. So that's definitely one of the positives of the bunker.
One of the big issues for fans has been trying to work out, and difficult for the broadcasters as well. So there's a bit of difference in the broadcasters this year. Foxtel pretty much show you what the bunker's seeing.
Yeah.
That's what they've gone with. And so when you hear the person in the bunker saying, oh, you know, bottom left, you can see this, you're seeing that. Now, Channel 9... they're still of the belief that, well, hang on, the viewer at home probably wants to see a closer replay. So they show the screen. You're hearing audio that's got nothing to do with the screen. Andrew Voss had a blow-up one night at Brookvale Oval about this. I think you'll find some funny videos with Vossy blowing up at the host broadcaster, as he called it. That's been a bit difficult as well, probably for fans and the broadcasters to get used to what they should be showing and seeing. I personally think that if you want the bunker to be a success, both broadcasters need to show exactly what the bunker's seeing.
Yeah, exactly right. I mean, we all want to see that close replay. I mean, at a game when they've got the split screen with four, you can't see.
Can they potentially change it for at a game or something? Because that is very
difficult. You can't see anything that's going on. You have no idea if it's a try or no try. So I think that really hurts the element when you're at a game. But on TV, you want to see what the bunker is saying, you know, through your audio there. You want to see what's going on the screen. So I can see the differences there.
And they also need to work out at games if they're going to play the bunker audio or not play it, because it seems to be different every venue.
Well,
we were at the
Titans-Panthers game, and I think Scotty McRae or whoever in the audio box had it up almost blew the speakers and threw everyone's eardrums.
I think Wilmo was in charge that day. Wilmo loves pumping up the music. Thanks to Wilmo, by the way. We're using his studios here at Vintage FM.
Good man, Wilmo.
We don't need Wilmo to panel, so there he is, just sort of looking at us through the window. Wilmo is just wanting to come in, I think. Wants to have his say, but Vintage FM, you'll hear Wilmo every day on Vintage FM.
Absolutely.
87.6 or vintagefm.com.au and the Target Radio Network with Wilmo and Roscoe. He's on deck. Well, they're all there on Vintage FM. All right, so the bunker, we're giving it a 7.5 and a 7.
Yep.
And still some improvement to go. Earlier in the season, we also, in our previous podcast, we talked about the broadcast deal, how it had changed. How do you think it's gone with Fox and Channel 9 now both doing matches? Because I know that You're a Channel 9 man.
I know.
And I stick with my mates over at Fox Sports. I can be bought, though, if there's anything Channel 9
like
might want to...
paying you. You're that in...
Well, I pay for them, so I'm going to back Fox still. Exactly.
So I can understand. Look, I'll openly admit I'm a Channel 9 man just because I enjoy the talent that 9 have. I enjoy hearing the opinions of Sterlo,
and you're
Joey.
Too cheap to buy the HD Foxtel,
that's right,
so therefore you watch the HD
I go to
Channel
90 on me, yes. In my Channel 9. But I like hearing the experts. I like your Sterlos, your Gus's. Yeah, Andrew Johns, they're legends of the game. They know what they're talking about. I'm not saying that.
You're saying Joel Kane is not a legend of the game.
He's a good goal kicker.
Yes,
and great on the betting ads too. But look,
Joel? Just a story on Joel Kane. When I was in high school, I ran a rugby league website. It was called LeagueAustralia.com, and Joel Kane was actually a columnist while he was still playing for the West Tigers.
Excellent. So, how did you pay him?
I didn't get paid. He wanted a career in the media, so I launched Joel Kane's media career. And he'll thank me one day.
There you go.
Look, still backing him all these years later on Fox Sports.
Look, it's everyone's opinion. I think 9 isn't getting too many good raps on social media. They do get bagged a lot, but I enjoy hearing Ray Warren, even if he can't get some of the players' names correct on occasion. But they're legends of the game, and their opinions hold a lot of weight as opposed to maybe someone like a Mark Gasnier or a Brayton Astor. But nothing against those guys, but.
Yeah. Oh, look, I think Fox are doing a tremendous job, but I will say that probably a result of Fox showing Friday and Thursday and Sunday afternoon games is that Channel 9 have stepped up their game. Mm. So there's often a lot more to the broadcast. Freddie's got his own camera happening down there and things like that.
And they're interviewing, five or six players post-game, which is good to see. They're having an extended coverage, which is what you want. You don't want a game just to end and that's it. You go and go to bed. Yeah. I like seeing some of the interviews after the game and analysis.
Yeah, no, they do very well. And what about Thursday night football? Has it been a
love
hit?
It,
I actually
love
miss it when it's
miss
not
it,
on
exactly.
during this Origin period.
I can't wait to watch it tonight. The Raiders are on obviously, that's good. But yeah, it's a fantastic element to the game. You were worried at the start of the season, 5 games was too much. Surely you think it's you're giving it a thumbs up now.
Look, I will give it the thumbs up, but I'm very comfortable with saying goodbye to Monday next year. I think that by the time you get to Monday, to actually think that, gee, that Thursday game was in the same round is pretty crazy. I do think that the NRL, and I've said this for a long time, and I know they're introducing a 6 o'clock Friday game next year, which I'll point out.
So that is still
apparently
going
that's
ahead.
Still the plan. That will be a failure.
I don't know about that.
Come on, Todd, fix that up. I'm sure he'll be listening. send us an email, Todd, if you're listening. But I think that the NRL need to fix up some of these time slots. I know we're in Perth, and that's why we had a Sunday night game. But I reckon that if you actually went through and made a list, you got a notepad in front of you, you'd need 3 pages of that for the actual kickoff times we've had this year.
Yeah.
Now, I'll get over my problem
every week.
We're not kicking off on time, all right? Because that is ridiculous, by the way, that the NRL doesn't do that. Every other sport can kick off when it says it will. But forget that part. We've had 8 o'clock kickoffs. Then we moved them to 7:50 and still kick off at 8 o'clock. Then we've had Saturday afternoon 3 o'clock. Yeah. We've had Saturday afternoon 5:30. There was a game we decided to have at 8 o'clock Saturday instead of 7:30. We've had the 2 o'clock Sunday slot, the 4 o'clock Sunday slot, the 12 o'clock Sunday slot.
We've had a couple on Mondays as well.
We've had
times.
Well, the long weekend. We've got a Monday 4 o'clock and a Monday 7 o'clock. We are all over the place, and I just think that if you want to build a fan base, look, don't get me wrong, I love footy at any time of the day.
Yeah.
You want to build a fan base, I think you need to know the footy's on at 3 o'clock Saturday. Yeah. And we actually kicked a Saturday afternoon football off with Penrith and Canberra this year at 3 o'clock, and then it disappeared for a few weeks because it's too hot.
Yeah.
Look, let's just not have it then.
It's not hot anymore. It's winter.
Yeah, that's right. I don't know. Sometimes I get a bit confused. For the casual fan anyway, look, I'm someone, I could tell you exactly when the game's on. I'm pretty involved in it. But I reckon that the NRL's got to have a little bit of a look at its scheduling.
Yeah, I think so too. I love the Sunday night game. That's beautiful.
Yeah, I don't know about Sunday night games.
You know, I reckon?
Look, a lot of people like them. I don't know how
it's
rated.
Better than that Friday 6 p.m. game, whatever it is, that could really go into there nicely.
And it does allow you to tape the voice and watch the performances, which equal about 18 minutes
when you fast forward all the other stuff from
Channel 9. That's so, right. I don't mind the Sunday night, but I think it is... I'm happy that we're saying goodbye to Monday.
Yeah, of course. It's been something that's a long time coming. We wanted to get rid of Monday night football for a while now. Crowds don't like it. No one shows up. I just love having football 5 days a week, so that's probably the thing I'll miss about it.
couple of other issues that have popped up throughout the year. The touching referees situation. Now Sam McKendry, of course, he was suspended for a week, was he?
Yep.
But it's also the carryover points for that meant that if he would have fought his shoulder charge sighting this week from the Melbourne game, he could have got a 3-week suspension. Mm. I think it's hilarious now that James Graham, whenever he talks to the referee, puts his hands behind his back because of this ridiculous scenario. And it is ridiculous.
It is.
That we are putting players out of games because of an accident. It is accidental or it's incidental. Mm. You know, those two things, incidental or accidental touches with the referee. Ridiculous.
Ridiculous. And I mean, it happens in a semi-final. That player's gone for a grand final based on that.
Yeah.
It's just, it shouldn't happen. I mean, it's it needs to be looked at either this year or next year. As I said to you the other day, in other sports, in the NBA, you see LeBron James touching the referee all the time out of frustration. It's not aggressive. It's just, it's just getting
their
attention.
It's not like they're pushing a referee aside.
It's getting their
attention.
Like and yeah, I can see what the NRL is doing. They want a respect for referees and you shouldn't touch them. But there's some minor things there that maybe a fine could be good, a warning, something like that, that'll stop them from doing it. But getting suspended for a whole game is just ridiculous. And there was a player early in the season that got off. Was it do we remember? A Bulldogs player?
Yeah.
Got off from doing it. Then Sam McKendry did it a week later.
Yeah.
Tried to fight the same case
and
didn't get off.
Yeah.
And that's why, which sees poor Sammy miss a few games.
Yeah, and look, there's been other examples, of course, of players who have touched a referee that haven't been cited, including Trent Merrin.
Yeah, exactly. And there was another one the other day in one of the games. It's just ridiculous. Yeah.
Because it's so incidental, the chances of them seeing everyone are ridiculous.
You some know, might not get caught on camera.
Yeah.
Some might happen, you know, while the focus is on something else. This is why it's wrong.
And do the referees really don't care?
No, some of them say they don't feel it.
Yeah.
I don't even know who was touching me.
Yeah, it was David Clemmer, I think, by the way, who was found not guilty,
right.
I think, earlier in the year.
Yep.
All right, well, that's, you know, the judiciary. Like, because you can have a grade one careless eye tackle and actually not get suspended. Or, what we've seen earlier in the year, tripping, which is seen as a dog act, and you can get nothing for that. 75 points, nothing for that. And but, yeah, you know, you accidentally, little touch of a referee's jersey.
You can put someone
jersey.
In the concussion booth, and you could be out for the week after, or something with a hit or a late shot, and they're sweet. It just... It's something needs to be done, and sooner the better.
Absolutely. All right, you can get your business online with the Western Weekender from just $49 a year with the Western Weekender's business directory. Log on to the Western Weekender now to list your business, westernweekender.com.au. From just $49 a year, you can be listed in the business directory. And don't forget, if you want to advertise in the Western Weekender's print edition, you can do that by calling our sales team, 47222998, or emailing sales@westernweekender.com.au. You can also log on to westernweekender.com.au and book yourself an appointment with the sales team as well. All right, well, Nathan, that's pretty much it for our second Panthers podcast. We might be back again in a few weeks, depending on how many changes Anthony Griffin wants to make. I think what we can sum up by saying is that the Panthers... I still have a big shot of making it. We've been happy with a lot that we've seen this year. But at the moment, there's probably more questions than answers about where the Panthers are heading.
That's right. I think it all starts this weekend. They need to win this game. They've got a second bye after that. And this is when they really need to start to get a roll on and start to break away from that pack a bit.
Just finally, who's going to win the comp?
Canberra. You'd love that.
Canberra won't be winning any competitions this year, but I tell you what, I'd love to see them in the semi-finals with Ricky Stewart on the sideline, because hey, more coaches should coach from the sideline.
I tweeted that the other day.
How good
both coaches, Barrett and Ricky Stewart on the sideline the other day, and it was the theatre was amazing.
Absolutely. All right, well, I'm going to go with Cronulla. I think it is the year. You know, I've got some thoughts on Paul Gallen and players like that. Actually, James Hooper on Sturlo on Wednesday night added to the chorus of people who think that Paul Gallen should not be there for State of Origin. But that's probably another debate. Obviously, it was that show that started all of this with Sturlo leaving him out of his team. But anyway, I think Paul Gallen might be lifting a premiership at the end of
Cronulla,
the season.
Cronulla, Canberra. Grand final.
I'm going to go Cronulla, North Queensland. I know that's boring. I know that's a boring selection because they're leading the comp at the moment, but I just think the Cowboys, I know people going on about back-to-back, but I think they've got a great squad that can just keep winning. They're going to be there in September, and they can win the big games in September, and the Sharks, they're on fire.
Well, they won the June Premiership, the Sharks, and the May Premiership.
Yeah, well, you know what? I wouldn't mind a June Premiership right now, the Panthers fan, I'll tell you that much. I mean, if we'd won 9 in a row, we'd be planning the ticker tape parade through the streets of Penrith on High Street and Henry Street. With it'd all be happening. We'd be getting everyone out there. All right, well, that's pretty much it from us. westernweekender.com.au. Follow us on Facebook too, facebook.com/westernweekender. Twitter too, WWPenrith. Nathan is NateTaylor87. If you want to follow him, you can follow me too, at Troy Dodds. But that's it from us. Don't forget, westernweekender.com.au, and every Thursday on your front lawn, the Western Weekender print edition.
Let's all hear it. It's the people in the stands, and they're calling out your name. It's a